Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session shares my conversation with candidate for school committee, Elise Stokes. This is one of a series of conversations with candidates for the Franklin election on November 2nd, 2021. I do this to provide Franklin, Mass. Voters with accurate and timely information that they can use to cast an informed vote. Publication of the answers or interview responses does not constitute an endorsement of this or any other candidate. We cover the candidate questions as previously developed in conjunction with the community and shared with the candidates in advance. Five of the questions are general in nature, the sixth is specific to the role of the candidate, in this case, for the school committee. Our conversation runs about 20 minutes, so let's listen to my interview with Elise Stokes. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin FM area dial at 102.9. Here for another candidate interview, this time school committee candidate and current school committee person, Elise Stokes. Elise, good day and welcome.
Hi, Steve. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're participating in this. So for those who perhaps, who's Elise? What is she doing? So briefly, tell us your Franklin story. Tell us a little bit about your life here.
I will. Well, I first learned about Franklin from my printed MapQuest directions. So back in 2005, I was commuting from my home in Marion, Massachusetts, which is down near the Cape, to my job in the Holliston Public Schools. So it was a lot of highway time in the morning, a long drive. And by exit 16, I was so relieved and ready to get off the highway and enjoy these nice scenic back roads. So every day for years, I'd drive on Union Street, passing by DT, the Common, St. Mary's, and straight to Holliston from there. And it didn't mean much. I didn't have a connection to the town at the time. So it was just sort of like a respite from my highway driving and sort of nice, relaxing small town feel that made me happy in the mornings. It was a much needed break from my long highway commute. So I looked forward to that Franklin exit every morning. Fast forward 16 years and I'm living right around the corner from the Common, and my family, we walk around those same spots all the time and we enjoy all the fun things going on in and around the Common. So it's a small world. Everything happens for a reason.
Yes, and exit 16 is no longer.
I know. I know. You're right. You're right. That's going to date the podcast right there.
Exit. That's 16. Okay, but that shows the time. That's what it was at that time. That doesn't change.
And there was a MapQuest reference, which you don't hear very often either.
Technology changes all along the way. Yes.
It's true. When I became a parent, I decided to move my family to Franklin because I know the value of a strong school district. So I chose to buy a small home here instead of a bigger house in another town further out because education is my priority. I'm grateful that my kids have had their entire education in Franklin schools. They're now in third and sixth grades. We love this community and we can't imagine being anywhere else. So my Franklin roots took strong hold when I was a member of BSC, which was the Boston Sports Club. And that was such an amazing community, and many of my closest friendships to this day started at BSC. So when BSC closed, many of us felt uprooted and we were searching for a similar community feel as the one we had at BSC. I've been a dedicated member of the Hockomock YMCA for many years now, and I love to see all the powerful things the Y does for our community, from camps to meals, toddler and youth programs, they have family events, disability inclusion, and they have a new mobile food vehicle, and many more things. The Y is a great partner and a resource that we're lucky to have right in town, and I'm so happy to support them. In addition to the Common and the Y, one of our other favorite Franklin places is the library. I'm able to work remotely sometimes, and the best spot for me to really concentrate if I have a pressing deadline is in the quiet study area of the library. My kids are involved in library programs, and they're both avid readers, so we spend lots of time there. The staff there are friendly and helpful and always enthusiastic about my kids' current book obsessions. I love this community and I give back in small ways however I can, whenever I can. And I give back in big ways by volunteering to support schools because that's where my expertise and experience lie. I enjoy serving our community by supporting our schools. This is a big election and I'm hopeful to be able to serve another term to continue my work on the school committee.
And as we're preparing for the election, certainly participating in elections is one of the key freedoms of American life. And voting is just one of the primary responsibilities of citizens. So while the law does not require citizens to vote, voting is an important part of any democracy. So what can you tell us about your own voting record? And if you've not been an active voter, can you tell us why? I think the real important question there is, how important is it that we elect people who are active participants in the election and governing process?
Right. Yes. Thanks. Agreed. I vote. I like to vote. I take pride in voting. I'm an active voter in local, state, and national elections. I'm proud to model informed voting for my kids. I've always brought them to the polls since they were toddlers, mostly because I didn't have childcare. They just came everywhere with me, and they always enjoyed going. They like the sticker. Sometimes there's lollipops. And it's much better now. I'll say that they can read the ballot and they give other voters personal space, which didn't always happen when they were little toddlers, wanting to see what everybody was doing. I think it's important that we elect people who understand how our Franklin government works and people who actively support our Franklin community. So in my opinion, being engaged in our local election process is an important part of being invested and supporting our community.
And then in regards to the community, shifting to the public health aspects of the pandemic that we're all kind of struggling through at the moment, have you been vaccinated for COVID-19? Do you think there should be a mask mandate if required here in Franklin? Finally, the bigger question is, what measures should government take to protect the public from the virus, this one and future ones? And how should those efforts be delineated between local, state, and federal governments? And I apologize, it's a mouthful, but everybody gets the same question.
Yeah, no, of course, I understand. It's a hot topic nowadays. So yes, I was vaccinated for COVID-19 because I want to protect myself against severe illness, and I want to continue to be there for my kids. That's important to me. In addition to vaccinations, the Center for Disease Control, the Mass Department of Public Health, and the Department of Early and Secondary Education, we usually call it DESE, so it's much easier to come off the tongue, and other public health experts recommend physical distancing, mask wearing, hand hygiene, and cleaning of high-touch surfaces to prevent transmission of COVID-19. The goal of these mitigation strategies is to slow the community spread of COVID-19. So in general, I like to help my community. I'm a helper. I like to do whatever I can to help out. And I feel like these mitigation strategies are really an easy thing I can do to help take care of my neighbors and my community. So in my opinion, it doesn't make sense for local government to make major public health decisions independently. Viruses don't stay within town lines. Our FPS staff travel to work every day from about 130 cities and towns across Massachusetts and Rhode Island. And our children and residents frequently visit other towns for recreation activities, to see friends and family, work, and other reasons. We're all connected, and Franklin is not an island. We're part of the state of Massachusetts, the region of New England, and the United States of America. Our goal is to keep our staff and students in school together. And to do that, we need to keep our entire school community safe and healthy by following the science that points us to evidence-based mitigation strategies. The state and federal governments have access to public health experts and leading scientists. They have the data, resources, and authority to design evidence-based recommendations to protect the general public from this virus. Local governments should follow the state and federal guidelines to ensure consistency and safety for all citizens across neighboring cities and towns.
Thank you for that and giving me an opportunity. And for the new listeners, thank you for joining us. For the regular listeners, you should be aware at this point that there are 5 standard questions that you, as part of the community, were invited to participate in developing this set of interview questions. This is the 4th of the 5 standard questions, and we'll get into the last one as we get to it. So on a broader bit, what are 3 important actions you believe are needed to move Franklin forward?
So as I think about this question, I think of it from a school lens, a school committee lens, right? So I think there, in my opinion, many things, but especially top 3 for me would be staff and student wellness, facilities planning, and the budget message. So when I think about staff and student wellness, you know, we all know this pandemic's been tough for everybody and especially for schools, and we're working to recover. some important wellness-related pieces that I've advocated for in public meetings and as part of the superintendent evaluation process and in my role on the School Wellness Advisory Committee are tiered supports for academic and social-emotional skills, which includes screening for all, so that's academic and social-emotional screening to figure out where the kids are at, where each child is at, and then targeted an intervention in specific area for whoever needs it. Restorative practices that focus on building empathy and repairing relationships. And then for the staff focus, responsive actions based on the recent staff perspective survey. So the district is really looking at getting input from staff and perspectives from staff, hearing staff voices. And then we're really looking at how can we use that information that's so valuable moving forward to design supports and be responsive to what the teachers are telling us. We need to take care of our teachers so they can continue to take care of our kids. The district improvement goals emphasize staff and student wellness, and I anticipate that wellness will be included in the district strategy for improvement that will be developed with stakeholder input within the next year. Additionally, I'm very much looking forward to the upcoming equity audit that will likely offer direction to update policies and practices to better support wellness for all members of our school community. The second focus here is the master facilities plan. So we started that off a little bit with the facilities analysis subcommittee last year. And we need to gather information now on all K through 8 school buildings and then consider and discuss recommended next steps going forward, including possible redistricting, possible retirement or renovation of the older schools, and making the best use of the space we have, considering current educational trends and practices. So that was a recommendation that came out of the facilities analysis process that we needed a master facilities plan. So that's coming down the pike. So the third point here is to communicate the budget message. The school committee and the district work so hard to fine-tune the budget and make the most of every dollar. The incoming school committee members should work to educate the community and the town councilors earlier in the budget process as we go along in our budget planning to help people have more information before the public budget hearings in the spring. The hard questions have been asked and answered, and it's the school committee's role to help the public understand the most relevant pieces of a complex budget development process.
So the fifth of the five questions is, what experience or background will help you serve in this role in the school committee? Or another way to phrase it, what do you bring to the table that helps set you apart or helps set you work with the others that are you'll be on the board with, assuming you get elected?
Right. So my personal education, my experience, my work experience, and my expertise have always been centered on public education, and I like to help out wherever I can. So it seems to me like serving our community as a part of the school committee is a natural fit for me. My professional background includes over two decades working in education in a variety of roles as a special ed teacher, a specialized program coordinator, a staff trainer and coach, an adjunct professor in a teacher preparation program, and a fieldwork supervisor. I'm a licensed special ed administrator, a DESE trainer for the Leading Educational Access Project, a board certified behavior analyst, and I recently completed a graduate certificate in social emotional learning. I currently work for an educational collaborative as a senior consultant to public school districts. In my work, I prioritize authentic connections, evidence-based practices, and objective decision making. I've developed a keen understanding of how school districts operate. From the inside, I see how other districts manage educational issues and trends, and that perspective is invaluable to me as a school committee member. In addition to my paid work, I've dedicated my free time to volunteer positions on the Franklin Children's School Board of Directors, the Davis Thayer School Council, and the Franklin School Committee. In each of these roles, I've been dedicated and involved, exhibiting consistent attendance, participation, initiative, and productivity. My first term on the Franklin School Committee brought many challenges, a budget crisis, a pandemic, a school retirement, and many other issues. I love a challenge though, and I worked hard to fulfill my role. I attended every meeting, I represented the school committee in district events with staff and students, and I volunteered to serve on a number of subcommittees. I was on policy subcommittee, the superintendent evaluation subcommittee, the negotiation committee for cafeteria workers, and I was the chair of the facilities analysis subcommittee. Additionally, I was a passionate advocate on the School Wellness Advisory Committee, an active problem solver on the Reopening Task Force, and an enthusiastic teammate on the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee, in the Inclusive Practices Subcommittee in particular. In all these working groups, I was prepared, invested, and collaborative. My professional expertise, volunteer experience, and my parent perspective have helped me serve in this role as a Franklin School Committee member, and I'd be totally stoked to serve another term.
You slipped that pun in there.
Right? I got it in there. I know.
We may have to go to the committee to get some extra points for that one. I don't know.
Totally stoked.
And the final question for those in particular is focused on the role in particular. Chloe, you're in the school committee role, and I think you've touched on some of these, but this gives you a chance to address, you know, with the school district managing the largest portion of Franklin's budget, what are your ideas to help to solve the structural deficit in the operating budget?
Right. So I've known schools and worked in schools for my whole adult life. And the budget piece, I feel like being on school committee, having this seat to look at the budget from this angle is different and enlightening, and understanding how the school committee, the school department is part of the town was really helpful for me in understanding this piece. I've learned a lot, probably have a lot more to learn about budget, but with services staying the same, our annual costs rise more than the 2.5% that the town is legally allowed to increase property taxes. So we can't afford to maintain all our school and municipal services at the same level. For the district to continue the same level of services as the previous year, which we call level service budget, the budget must increase to support those rising costs. However, for the district to use the same amount of funding as the previous year, which we call level funded, we have to take away services or positions from the previous year and or increase fees to make up for the rising costs. This is why over the years, Franklin has had to eliminate a number of programs that many districts have been able to maintain, such as Spanish, band, and the strings music program at the elementary level, librarians at the middle and elementary levels, French, Latin, and general music at the middle school level, some electives at the high school, and health and PE staff cuts resulted in limited offerings. In addition to what has been cut, reduction in funding has forced the district to charge families fees to continue some programs, such as transportation, sports, clubs, and enrichment activities like performances and field trips. The budget is complicated, but the challenge is simple. We can either spend less by decreasing services, cutting positions, and increasing fees, or we can acquire more funds by supporting an override option or securing other funding sources. We cannot have our cake and eat it too. The Franklin Public School District consistently spends less than the state average on 90% of expense categories. Our teacher salaries are below those in surrounding towns, and our per pupil cost is only $14,698. Compared to the state average of $16,936. These data points help to show that the Franklin Public School District leaders and past school committees have been efficient with their budget. If there were unnecessary expenditures, they would have been identified by now. We frequently hear, we get a lot for our dollar in Franklin, which is awesome and has been true, but at some point we won't be able to stretch the dollar anymore. If we want to have high quality schools, we cannot continue to cut. From my perspective as an educator, a parent, and a school committee member, the town of Franklin will need to explore ways to properly fund our schools so our graduates will be able to compete in our global society. Strong schools are vital for our property values, our youth, and our community. We all benefit by investing in our schools.
Thank you for that. And while we've covered the six standard questions, is there something else that you'd like to leave for the voters and that we haven't already discussed?
Yeah, I think, Franklin, we're really lucky. We have a lot of strong candidates running for school committee and running for all the open positions. And so voters have quite a choice to make, need to really do their research and learn about all the candidates and figure out which candidates align with their values and their visions of Franklin heading forward. It's a really important election, so please remind your friends and your neighbors to vote. They can use the mail-in option. There's early voting at the municipal building or come to the polls at the high school on Tuesday, November 2nd.
Yeah, and just to add to that, the early voting as we record this is actually starting this week. There's also a weekend option, the 23rd and the 24th, that's Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 1. Applications for absentee and mail-in ballot are still available. And of course, the final day of November 2nd. The polls are open from 6 a.m. through 8 p.m. All precincts vote at the high school. So on behalf of the voters and residents, thank you, Elise, for taking time today to share some of your ideas, at least, and answers to these questions. And I'm sure that we'll include in the show notes your contact info, your other campaign page, so that if anybody has any individual questions to follow up on, they'll be free to do so.
So thanks for taking the time to do this interview, Steve. This was so helpful. Folks are really listening to all these interviews you're doing and learning about all the candidates. It's really great resource for our community. So again, I'm Elise Stokes. I'm running for re-election for school committee, and I hope everyone will get Stokes for school committee.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.